I think it was astounding. I think there was considerable courage on John Bell's part to break what he knew was the very strictly enforced rule within the DUP that the party comes first. We saw that in the Jenny Palmer case, and it is very much part of the mantra of the DUP. So speaking out wasn't easy, so I think that has to be acknowledged in respect of him. What he had to say was astounding, right? Because, and it adds a new layer to this appalling saga in that it indicates that special advisers who are overly powerful party enforcers within the system, that they intervened to stop and delay the closure of this runaway scheme, which had the effect of costing the public even more tens of millions of pounds. Now, he says that that is confirmed to him by a senior civil servant. If that confirmation comes to the fore, then this becomes an even more serious matter, and it raises the question, what was the party interest in keeping this scheme open? Because special advisers are party appointees enforcing the party line. What was the party interest in keeping this scheme open? And in consequence, what it makes even more important, what's the identity of those who then got into the scheme? How many DUP insiders were benefiting from this? And I think unless and until all of that is answered, this issue is not going away, because there's quite rightly a huge public anger about the waste of the public's money. And that brings us back to the first and abiding point. How did this scheme ever be approved in the first place? And the answer to that is because Arlene Foster, as the minister in 2012, was asleep at the wheel. And she approved a scheme which took out of it the cost controls which are in the GB scheme. That's never been explained why that was. Took out the cost controls and in consequence created this runaway train of public waste and squander.
If all that Mr. Bell said is borne out, what implication has this got for the First Minister's political future?
Well, in a normal political society, I think the First Minister's position would be very wobbly indeed. And I think if a former cabinet colleague, as it were to expose the matters that have been exposed, then there would be such a lot of explaining required that the First Minister in that circumstance would probably go. And if then it was compounded by the fact that the First Minister had actually been the minister that initiated the flawed scheme failed to take action to stop it being a flawed scheme, then I think the position would be pretty inevitable. But in Northern Ireland, of course, in our rigged arrangements at Stormont, if only the First Minister can sack herself, and I don't suppose that's likely to happen, but I do think there is a need now for thoroughgoing public inquiry into this, into the apparently pernicious role of special advisers, and into the whys and wherefores, particularly the why, of how this scheme came to be extended even beyond the point where it was recognised it should be closed. In whose interest was that? But fundamentally, why a minister was so asleep at the wheel in 2012 that she ever approved the scheme in the first place.
Mr. Bell, under collective responsibility, approved the scheme in the Assembly after that ferocious row. And then, of course, many months elapsed before he went public. Does that undermine his credibility and bona fides?
Well, to an extent, in that he chose not to resign, and he chooses only to blow the whistle when he has nothing to lose in terms of the ministerial car is gone, because he was effectively sacked after the election. So you could say he has nothing to lose, but he has a lot to lose in that he has forfeited his comfortable role as a DUP backbencher, and no doubt he will not be long in the DUP after this, in consequence he may have forfeited his future political career. So I think we'll have to give him some credit for that, and I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision to swim against the tide and to say what he said. And if the senior civil servants bear him out ultimately, then he is vindicated in that, and maybe it's a pity he didn't speak sooner, but better late than never.